From Carol McKinney Public Media in Oviedo, Florida.
The numbers are growing for the number of homeless children in our school system. As I said, in 2010 it was 1,200. Today it's almost 1,700.
This is an interfaith effort because this is about a community and not about a particular religion.
Bringing the churches to the fold is kind of a natural thing to do.
These are children that are hurting, and that is something that should not be happening in our community.
Yet, children that are hurting are a reality in our community. And there is a collaboration in Seminole County, Florida, recently launched to specifically confront it, decrease it, and, perhaps, if successful, apply that strategy in the future to address other categories of homeless people in Seminole County. Hello, I'm Stephen McKinney Stack for CMF Public Media. Those four voices you just heard are
Brenda Carey, Seminole County Commission Chairman.
Joel C. Hunter, Senior Pastor of Northland, a church distributed in Longwood, Florida.
Deborah Grossclose, I'm with Community-Based Care Central Florida, Executive Director for Pathways to Home Initiative.
Dee Dee Schaffner, Chairman of the Seminole County School Board.
By telephone, I call on those voices to describe a collaboration in Seminole County between the faith-based community organizations and the public school district. Organizers don't yet have a name for the project. They seem most intent on doing rather than on branding. In this feature, you'll hear them forthrightly describe the homeless public school student problem, eagerly lay out plans, goals, and measures to address it, and how they are pulling together an otherwise disparate collection of organizations, people, and cultures to owe up to and resolve the pain and circumstance that has created those children that are hurting. Before we hear the plans of these four leaders, a bit of recent history as to the motivation for this collaboration between the public school district and the faith-based community in Seminole County. Two words best describe what jump-started this project. They are 60 Minutes. Yes, that's the title of the popular Sunday evening news magazine on CBS television. In the spring of 2011, 60 Minutes produced and broadcast a segment they titled The Hard Times Generation. It profiled several impoverished local families and the hurt that was coming to their children, children of homeless or near homeless parents, living in affluent Seminole County, just 35 miles north of the Magic Kingdom of Walt Disney World. A kingdom where it seems every young child's dreams come true. The geographic and emotional contrast was just too perfect and too sad. That 60-minute segment on homeless public school children galvanized Seminole County. To be fair, local educators and providers of homeless services knew the problem all too well, long before 60 Minutes came to town. But to the county as a whole, the problem was invisible. No leader ran from the fact. 1,700 homeless public school students. All leaders confronted it, and a trio of them came together to form a plan to address those children who are hurting. This feature is a quick report of this journey. To start, I ask Dee Dee Schaffner, chair of the Seminole County Public School District Board, to lay out the problem and the issue surrounding homeless students in Seminole County.
We currently have over 1,750 homeless children in our Seminole County Public Schools. When 60 Minutes came into Seminole County and did their issue on homeless children, we were able to make that figure known, and people were shocked, very shocked, to find out that in Seminole County, which is considered to be a more affluent county, we have that many homeless children. Our free and reduced lunch count in Seminole County is now up to 42%, which is the highest it has ever been. So it's definitely an issue. We have a social worker whose sole responsibility is to work with our homeless families, and of course her responsibilities have grown as the numbers have grown. We also, of course, feed these children breakfast and lunch every day that we have school, and we view ourselves as being kind of the security blanket for these children, that they know when they come to school on Monday morning, they're going to get breakfast, they're going to have the same teacher standing there every day, they're going to have a routine in their classroom every day at lunch, they're going to get fed. It's when they go home that they're not real sure about what's going to happen to them. So we have made every effort to work with these families to provide food and to be sure that these children are taken care of. We reach out to them and do everything we can to provide the stability that we know they need in their lives and often don't have. Initially last spring when CBS 60 Minutes came in to the Central Florida area, they wanted to do a particular issue on homelessness and how it affects children. And so they selected Seminole County and zeroed in on Castleberry Elementary School for one. And when that was shown back in the spring, it was a wake-up call for most people in Seminole County. Again, they could not believe this was happening in Seminole County. So we began getting calls saying, oh my goodness, I had no idea this was going on. What can I do to help? And so one of the first calls I got the day after the 60 Minutes show was on Sunday night, Monday morning at 7 a.m., I got a call from one of our county commissioners, Brenda Carey, our county commission chair. She said to me, were you aware this was going to be on? And I said, yes, I was. And she said, I had no idea that we had so many children that were in this state. And I said, oh, yeah, it's a real problem. And she said, well, this is not acceptable in Seminole County. We got to do something about this.
Myself and Dee Dee Schaffner and Joel Hunter all got together and talked about what we needed to do. You know, we said to Joel Hunter, can you rally the faith-based groups?
It was shocking to many of us because we were only partially aware that the challenge was so significant, that the problem was so widespread. And so my response was, churches need to be a part of the solution. And so I began to contact other churches. We called every faith-based organization in the county that we knew of. There were about 400 of them. Initially, we got a response from about 140 of them, and then we convened a meeting.
From that meeting, a podcast of which can be heard at a link provided on our website, the faith-based community met in August 2011 to discuss and launch their plans. School District Chair Dee Dee Schaffner describes the anticipated outcomes as a result of this collaboration.
Churches are stepping up and they're trying to recruit case managers to help with the families, whoever's the breadwinner for the household, back into a job, get them into a stable environment, and stabilize the life for the children.
Dee Dee Schaffner, Chair of the Seminole County Public Schools, would you then consider that the case management aspect becomes the major component of this and the greatest measure of its success?
Absolutely. The more families we can get back on their feet, that's our goal. And I don't think the parents really realize, in many cases, that how deeply affected these children are. And I think that was what hit all of us when we saw 60 Minutes show on homelessness with children, was the effect it had on the children. We see it at school. They don't participate in activities because they don't want to tell anybody. They can't afford to, you know, pay the fee or be involved in something. They don't want to tell anybody. They can't go on a field trip. We have 16 social workers in our Seminole County Public Schools, and they work with these families, as well as Beth Davalos, who is the Families in Transition social worker. That is her sole responsibility. The numbers have become so overwhelming that we need support, and the support from the community is just incredible. And they are now talking about not only establishing the food banks, but as I mentioned, the case managers, but they're doing clothes closets and trying to see if they can come in and help tutor. Some of these children don't have any way to get help after school because they ride a bus and they have to go wherever they're going, and they don't have an opportunity to have any tutoring help, and so they're doing poorly in class, or they can't even do their assignments because they don't have the materials they might need. So as soon as we uncover or hear from a child that they're living in a homeless situation, we step forward and do everything we can to provide the support that's needed.
That support is more narrowly articulated by Joel Hunter, as he describes the anticipated outcomes in more detail with his response to this question. Dr. Hunter, will you describe to the uninitiated listener what you hope to be the anticipated outcomes of this involvement with the faith-based community and Seminole County Public School District?
Let me do it in four different segments. First of all, we hope that we can garner more support for those specialty ministries that do a very good job for the homeless. Whether it be a Pathways to Home or a Sharing Center or a Shepherd's Hope, that give medical care to people who can't afford insurance or even the doctor's care that they need. Second, we want to support the public sector programs, the families in transition, for example, that are a part of our county school system. And we want to make sure that we are supporting the teachers who have a relationship with students every day. Third, we want to build up the churches in their particular ministries, either to support schools or to be advocates for the homeless, or to have different local churches that become better at ministering to the homeless themselves. And then lastly, and this would be ultimately our goal, we want to offer a resource where any person in this county can go to a website and they can say, I can either help in this way or I need help. And it goes all the way from mentoring to different commodities. Somebody could go on, for example, and say, somebody has given us an apartment at low rent, but we have no furniture. You know, does anybody out there have a bedroom set? And then somebody who has signed up on this website could say, we got a bedroom set in our garage. We'll bring it over. And so it's more of a individual resourcing an individual and not just a church or a civic organization having to manage it all. So ultimately, we want to level the playing field and get the grassroots involved and connected with one another.
Dr. Hunter, given the level playing field that you're trying to achieve, what measure will indicate you've been successful in 2 years, 3 years?
Well, number one, the number of homeless school children will go down. That's a measurable outcome that we look for. The companion goal, of course, would be to work with these families. And all of these families need case managers. That's another thing we're doing. We're training case managers. Because every family is unique, and every family faces not one problem. It's not just I don't have a home. It's usually I don't have a job, and I don't have the training, and I don't know how to manage, you know, the resources I do have, because nobody's ever taught me that stuff. And so we want to train enough case managers in our county to address families so that they can become self-sustaining.
D.D. Schaffner, chairman of the Seminole County Public School Board, can you give some examples of what a case manager would do?
A case manager, it has to be somebody who's trained. They meet with a family. They find out what their skills are. Maybe some of them need to go back to school to pick up some additional skills that would enhance their opportunity to be employed. We always are trying to find out, you know, where are you living? Are you living in a stable situation? Many families are living with another family, and this came out in the 60 Minute special. They're afraid that if they do anything wrong, they'll be kicked out because they're afraid that they'll do something wrong and the family that they're living with will say, you know, this isn't working, we have to get you out. So we try and assess what the situation is and then see what the resources are that they need. Some of them don't know how to apply for unemployment. Some of them don't know how to apply for a job even, or they have no way to get to a job application, a job interview. So that's what the case manager is going to do. He's going to focus on that one family and really see what they can do to provide assistance. And often we have agencies in our community. We have some wonderful agencies in our community, but people don't know how to access them or they don't know about them. So a case manager is trained to be able to say to a person, here's how you apply for food stamps or whatever it may be, and to walk them through the process. The case manager would not work for the school system. The faith-based organizations are trying to recruit through their churches the people who might be able to be trained as case managers, and it will require training. But then they'll be working through an organization called Pathways to Home, and this organization is committed to helping families get back on their feet.
Deborah Gross-Close, Executive Director of Pathways to Home, can you tell us what you're currently working on with Northland, with the faith-based community, and with Seminole County Public Schools?
Well, Seminole County Public Schools Families in Transition is a partner agency of Pathways. So we are intimately involved with that program. We receive many of our referrals from the school system, so they've been a partner of ours since the beginning. from my perspective, it was a natural progression for the faith-based community to become active. Many of the churches have daycares that, my gosh, childcare is such a critical need for our families, and bringing the churches to the fold is kind of a natural thing to do. Where Pathways is now working with Northland Church is they're seeking out possible folks within the different churches that might have an interest in helping the Pathways program expand through case management. So the churches are rallying together and doing a call to their congregants to ask them, is there something that you would be willing to give to help homeless families? Maybe it is case management. Maybe it is child care.
D.D. Schaffner, chairman of the Seminole County Public School Board. Given the federal law separating religion from public school activities, how will you guard against any intentional or unintentional misstep?
Well, in the guidelines that were drawn up, the one thing we asked especially was please do not bring any religious materials into the schools. And the faith-based community understands that. They understand that we have the separation of church and state. And I know that they're not going to cross that line. I don't want anything to happen that would implode this whole process.
Our school board chair, D.D. Schaffner, is very, very good at this. They have had a meeting to set boundaries for any religious organization involved in the school because they can't have people including religious tracts with, you know, food donations. That does violate the separation of church and state and what they can do. And so as long as churches abide by the boundaries they're given, they won't transgress or trespass upon what could get the schools in trouble for accepting this kind of help.
Ms. Grossclose, Executive Director of Pathways to Home, absent the Seminole County School Board, why do you think there is not a similar interest that there is in students for the homeless senior citizens or homeless veterans or single women or the mentally challenged homeless?
That is a really good question. What I can tell you is that people always want to help the weakest and the smallest, and that's usually a child. And when people hear on 60 Minutes that kids are going hungry and kids don't have a place to sleep at night, that pulls at the heartstrings a lot more than, you know, I have an 80-year-old grandmother who can't afford to live in her home anymore and she's being evicted. But the normal person on the street would probably think, well, you know, they probably have family that can take care of them. But the kids are vulnerable and their family's in there with them, so we have to help them first because they're not going to get help from anybody else. I'm not saying that's right, but coming from the public, that could be how they're viewing it.
Well, Ms. Grossclose, is the public viewing it that way, or with no disrespect to these I'm about to cite, or is it simply being viewed that way by Northland Church and Seminole County Public Schools, only to realize, the uninitiated to realize, that no one's speaking up or addressing initiatives related to the single women or the mentally challenged homeless or the homeless veterans?
Well, I can tell you for the school district, of course, their number one mission is children. They are a stabilizing force in all children's lives that are school age. Northland Church has been helping the homeless for many years. They have helped single women. They have helped people with disabilities. I think the 60 Minutes segment highlighted Seminole County Public Schools because of the children.
Would we be doing the same kind of energy throwing at these issues if 60 Minutes had highlighted the homeless veteran, the homeless mentally challenged? And would we not be doing the students? In other words, is 60 Minutes driving the initiative of Seminole County homeless service providers?
I think that if you don't see it, you don't think it exists. And families that have children that are homeless didn't happen overnight. You know, they got evicted or they got foreclosed on. They probably lived in their house for another year or two after that. Then they moved in with a friend, still not on the radar as being homeless. Then after a friend, maybe they got a credit card and lived in a hotel for a while and really didn't become the target, if you will, until there was no other place to go. You know, they went to their stabilizing force, which is the Seminole County Public Schools. 60 Minutes really put it in front of a lot of people that never thought it or never believed it existed.
Dr. Joel Hunter, senior pastor of Northland Church Distributed, were it not for the 60 Minutes special a year ago or so, would there have been this kind of response on your and the clergy community to homeless students without the 60 Minutes special?
I don't think so. I think it takes an initiating event. It takes something so shocking that a community wakes up, and a community has this in common because it was named Seminole County. But when it gets down to an actual county, we had a basis upon which to respond. So I just don't think there would have been the kind of response that we see right now without that piece. When it centers around children, there is a special place in everybody's heart for the helplessness of children. So it evokes a much more widespread response.
Dr. Hunter, with Northland Church, are other homeless cohorts like the veterans, homeless people, or homeless mentally ill on the future radar screen of the faith-based initiative once you address the, or at least attempt to address, the homeless students?
I hope so. But the hope would be that once we start working together, then we develop a much more comprehensive approach. Usually what happens in these things is we start with a very focused approach that all of us can kind of chip into. And then as the relationships build and the common efforts for service build, you see other kinds of activities that we can do together. Hopefully these things build and broaden as they go along.
Chairman Carey, will Seminole County Board of County Commissioners, on behalf of its taxpayers, supply any funding to this faith-based initiative?
We have not. We have provided our energy and the position that we hold to go out and be actively involved in making sure that we get support from the business community and from the taxpaying community to help with the process, and I think that's how we can best serve without it being on the backs of taxpayers, if you will.
Chairman Schaffner, is there any new or additional expense that the district has to encumber to be involved in this collaborative?
No, quite the opposite, because they are coming in on Friday afternoons or Friday mornings with the food. Some of them are doing food backpacks that are all packed up and they just bring them in. So it helps the schools, actually, because it pained the schools to see these children go home hungry. And in the cafeteria at breakfast time, often a child will sneak an extra box of cereal in his pocket. One child said to me one day, "My mom doesn't have anything to eat. Is it all right if I take this box of cereal home to her?" So those are the kinds of things that we see. So our schools are so excited about having outside help to meet the problem that we have. It isn't just in the schools. I mean, it's in our community, without question. But these are children that are hurting, and that is something that should not be happening in our community.
D.D. Schaffner, Chairman, Seminole County Public School Board, thank you for this interview.
Pleasure being here, Steve, and I hope we'll hear get a response from some other people in our community.
And Dr. Joel Hunter, thank you, too.
You're certainly welcome.
Deborah Grossclose, Executive Director, Pathways to Home, thank you for this interview.
You're welcome.
Thanks to you, too, Brenda Carey, Chairman of the Board of County Commissioners, Seminole County Government.
No problem.
Galvanized by the oft-referred-to 60 Minutes special, a TV production crew from that series has recently completed an update to revisit their initial findings. CBS intends to broadcast that new feature any Sunday now. You've been listening to leaders describing a collaboration recently launched to specifically confront the issue of more than 1,700 homeless public school students in Seminole County, Florida. They spoke of their plans to decrease that number and, perhaps, if successful, apply that strategy in the future to address other categories of homeless people in Seminole County. We have posted helpful links to issues about which they speak, as well as still photos, in our online slideshow of each person interviewed. The extended interview with each is also posted on our website. In the extended interviews, each offer further comments not heard in the podcast on issues about which I ask them. You may particularly wish to hear Joel Hunter describe the other religions involved in the project. how he pastors and counsels homeless families, whether he has ever experienced homelessness, poverty, or hunger, and how he responds to the skeptic who challenges God's role in the homeless condition. You may wish to consider emailing a link to this feature to those you know who have an interest in their plan and the future of those children who are hurting, and leave your comments or reactions on our website. We've provided the online means for you to do both. CMF Public Media has produced a compelling number of podcasts on the theme of being homeless in Seminole County. This podcast website has a roster of links to all those features. When visiting the CMF website, please consider subscribing to our feature content using the RSS feature we provide for your feed reader, or subscribe using iTunes. Once subscribed, you'll be alerted immediately to each new feature we produce and post. New podcasts are usually posted on a monthly cycle. Stay in touch, too, won't you? Follow CMF on Twitter and Facebook, or email us using the contact link provided on the website. And you may also subscribe to CMF's free e-letter, so we may keep you up to date on the programming and activities of Carol McKinney Public Media. CMF is a nonprofit, publicly supported charity. Ample information about CMF's budget, governance, history, and future plans may be found in the transparency document dropdown at the top of the homepage. For Carol McKinney Public Media, I'm Stephen McKinney Stack.
Support for CMF Public Media is made possible in part by the Friends of Carol McKinney, who encourage you to make a tax-deductible gift in support of the programming activities of Carol McKinney Foundation for Public Media.
You may give online at cmfmedia.org, where you may also see a complete list of those friends in the donor section of the website.
This podcast is a presentation of Carol McKinney Foundation for Public Media, Incorporated.
Visit cmfmedia.org for more information.
This is Judith Delora Smith for CMF Public Media.
And this is Michael Hominick.